When Andy said, bring out the big guns, I thought he was going to say, bring out the old guns. One of the upsides of being old is that you've got lots of experiences to draw on, as you can go back a long, and in my case, a long, long time. One of the downsides is that you forget a lot as well. And if you're close to my age, you understand the tension between the two as you're grasping at what happened all those years ago. But I didn't have any trouble on this occasion. Rachel asked me to share a passage that has spoken to me in empowering and guiding my life. Really quite a challenging thing to say, really. And at first, I thought, oh, right. And I started going back through the years. And I came to a passage where I thought, yes, of course. It's the obvious one. But it's going back a long time. It's going back about, 56, 57 years. And when I was about 17, 18, you can do the maths, and yeah, I am quite old. But it had such a significant effect on my life. It's been with me through the years and helped me, empowered me, guided me, and enabled me in my life with God. And it's great to be able to share it with you today. It's not a verse, it's not even a chapter. It's a few chapters, actually. It's from Romans chapter 5 to Romans chapter 8. But don't worry, we're not reading it all, and we're not going to talk about it all either. So I picked out some important bits. But before we go into that, just to tell you a little bit about my earlier life then. I became a Christian really young. I was too young to remember how old I was, really. I must have been about 8 or something like that, walking home from Sunday school. And in Sunday school, they tell you, the teachers would say, if you hear God knocking on your heart, invite him in. And walking home, I can remember the patch of pavement I was walking on, actually. So I can remember that far back. I think that's impressive. And I suppose it's because it had that much impact on my life, and that's a testament to what it did for me, I suppose. I remember the patch, and I invited him in. There were no brilliant lights or flashes or anything like that, but that was tucked away in my heart. And as I grew older, I understood more, and I kept going to Sunday school. And in that, it was a brethren Sunday school. You really learnt your stuff by attending. And I've always valued that as well. So my knowledge was pretty good, I must admit. But that doesn't mean, just because you know a lot, doesn't mean you don't struggle a lot as well. Knowing stuff is different to experiencing stuff and having a power in your life. And I suppose, you can imagine from the 12-year-old, the secondary school age, you get your ups and downs, don't you? By the time I'd got to about 17, I struggled with my Christian life in many ways. Had some bonuses, some negatives, never happy with how I was doing, I suppose. And then I went on a holiday conference every year in and around the Swansea area and Cardiff area with the brethren. There was a holiday conference. You went away for 10 days, loads of youngsters, and it was a great time. And there we went through the theme of Romans chapters 5 to 8. Now, Romans chapter 5 to 8 hasn't got a good press, really, because it's quite complicated. It's quite complicated argument working it through. But we had this gifted speaker with us. Peter Brandon was his name. I drank it in. I actually drank it in, the principles that were there in those few chapters. And it was brilliant. So Sue has agreed to read from part of these chapters, chapter 6 of Romans, and I'll invite Sue to come out and read it for us, please.
Wow, look at you all.
Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God.
Thank you, Sue. We see the picture of baptism enacted out many times. We've seen it many times here at Linden. Ross, I think, was the last one to be baptized. And it's a moving experience. And going down into the water is death to one part of our lives, and coming up out of the water is a resurrection into a new kind of a life. And the vitality that baptism represents is quite remarkable. All roads lead to the cross. And the importance to me of this picture of baptism that the scriptures represent, it's the personalization of Jesus' cross experience and his resurrection experience has it did to me, and it does to all of us. So when we look at the cross, obviously, Jesus is represented there, but so am I, and so are you. And I suppose to me, 17, 18 years of age, that was a significant realization, but also the rising up from the dead of Christ is a personalization for me that I have something new. I had something new within me, which was invigorating for me. That part of that energy of resurrection and justification of myself, if you like, of the new life in me, is represented there personally. And for me, that was dramatic. Our old self crucified with Christ. Who'd guess, eh? Who'd guess? And the epoch-changing resurrection of new life within me. Who'd guess? Who'd guess that within us that would be possible? And that was dramatic for me. It was potent. It was powerful. And you find it in Romans. In Romans chapter 8. There's an element of an old self going away. And there's an element of a new life bubbling up within. And I found it quite dramatic. The short version we can find, if you have the next slide, please, Sue, is in Colossians chapter 3. You can find it in two verses, if you like. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So where we have the old and the new, it's within us. Now for my next illustration, I'm going to do something that Chris and I did 50 odd years ago, which I find really funny. that way. Yes, he's almost as old as me, I know. And we did this. I remember speaking about this in Treboth Gospel Hall in the youth meeting one Sunday night 50 odd years ago. And we're going to do it now again, which I find great. So Chris is going to come out. Thank you, Chris. When I said wear a coat, I was hoping you'd wear a decent one. but there we are, it's all you had, so there we are. I've got a better coat for you. Would you be prepared to put it on, Chris?
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay,
anything
for
you?
I know. So I've got a nicer coat here. You can see it's quite smart, isn't it? It's quite nice. I'd be proud to wear a coat like this, and I hope you would too. So and Chris will, I'm sure, a bit better than the stuff he's got on now. So Chris, would you put it on, please? Come on, put it on. For goodness sake, it's tailor-made. We've had it made to measure. Oh, good grief. It makes a fuss about everything, this man. Now, can you spot the mistake? He didn't take his first coat off, did he? So come on, Take it off. Dear me. I take it off and I said, unzip. Goodbye, goodbye. Now, try this new coat that you're going to be throwing this one away. It's not much good anyway, is it? For goodness sake. There we are. Look, it's got elbow pads as well. They're going to do some effort to make that. Oh, look at this. Look at it. Tailor-made for him. And the coat fits. And each one of us has a tailor-made person of God on us. The trouble is, sometimes it doesn't fit properly. It's a bit awkward. That's because the old one's not been taken off. And that's the whole point. God requires us to take off our older self. And there's a new self waiting, tailor-made, fit, and you look great in it. And I look great in mine. But sometimes, well, we just haven't taken the old one off. And that's what Paul is saying. Since you've taken off your old self and have put on the new self, that new self will fit great, even though sometimes we find problems with it, because you haven't taken those things off. Thank you, Chris. And I find that so expressive, that illustration that I came across. It goes through it in detail in Romans, and I benefited from the going through of it, I must rush. And as you go through those few chapters of Romans, you come to chapter 7, and there's this big... there's this huge conflict in Romans 7. If you read it through, and you and the argument is, oh, for goodness sake, I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do, but the more I try to do it, the less I can do of it. It's weird. It's as if there's a principle working within me that... totally goes against what I should be doing, and it's doing my head in, and that's the message of Romans 7. It's doing my head in. I just can't grasp. I know what I should, but oh gosh, it's so far away. It's so far away. I know what this new nature is supposed to do, but for goodness sake, where on earth is it? And there's this conflict there, this huge dilemma of the old life and the new life. And to me, this is the key to it all. This is what, to me, really helped me at that age and still helps me now, I have to say. We're going to read a passage and we've got it up there. We're starting in Romans 7, and it talks about a problem, and then we come to the answer. And I've asked Barbara if she'd come out and read this through with me. Now, I want this passage to be like the wind in our sails. Because it can be, it really can be. So in the sails of our life, the principles of what we're reading will carry us on and empower us for what God wants us to do in our life. So I'll ask Barbara to come out and read it for us, please. So open your heart and open your spirit and feel this flow through you.
The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Enough.
When Jesus rose from the dead, it's the Spirit of God empowered him to do that. When we obtain our new life in God, it's the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God, that empowers us. And that's the key. We don't put on our new life. The Spirit of God puts it on us, and he empowers it. So what I have learned through the many years, not always successfully, but I've learned that it's not my power, my grit, if you like, that does the business. It's me making way for the Spirit of God to do the business in me. And I found that so life-giving. So when I do something that, I'm challenged to do something that I think is a bit beyond me, and I think, oh dear, you leave the space for God to do it in you. And I found that liberating. I emphasize that doesn't always mean sweetness and light in the whole of my life since then, because what you learn is sometimes you have to take off the old nature quite a few times. And progress in life is learning to do that. It's learning not to be so disappointed that the old life sort of creeps up in you, but it's meaning I got it. It's taking off again. It's taking off and letting the Spirit of God flush through your life and flush out the rest. And that's liberating. And I bless God for the memory I have of those verses, and they're powerful verses for me, and I trust they can be powerful verses for us all. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. That was so good. I wonder, just before we move on, because there was so much in that. Chris, could you bring that coat up again, please, and yourself? It's lovely to have an insight into the world of the brothers. Yes, no, you can stay there. I was just thinking, just in a way of response, because there's a lot in that. I'm not going to preach again, but for each one of us here, Jesus is offering us a new coat. And it's a new coat of new life, of empowerment, of freedom, of deep healing, and of wholeness. And that's what Jesus is offering each one of us. And Andrew said that it's not us that puts it on, but it's Jesus who puts it on us. But Jesus is offering this coat to each one of us. And he stands there, ready to put it on us. He just stands ready for you to put your arms in and for him to put the coat on you. And he wants you to step into that coat. He wants you to say yes. Offer out your arm and put yourself into that coat as he just makes you nice and smart, brushes you down. Right, you're ready for the world now. Isn't that incredible? It is like Andrew says, it's just like, oof. That is unbelievable. And I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, how we all fail at them pretty much. And when people read those verses, you think, yeah, I want that. Oh, yeah, but I've tried. Oh, yeah, I've failed again. But that's okay. It's about just continually letting Jesus dress you in the morning. Daily taking up your cross. Oh, you got a bit of dandruff on that. Oh, it's just, you know, that's, yeah, didn't really work, you know, but amazing. So I think just as we come sort of coming into land, I just think, what is your response to what Andrew was sharing with us? What is your response to Jesus who stands there with a coat, with a jacket, ready for you to step in? And maybe let's just spend a moment just on our own reflecting on that and praying. Out of that, we'll respond with some worship. And just to say, if you need prayer, Steve and Stella will be around at the end, around the front, if you want to come and pray with them, or grab someone that you know. But let's just use this time to respond to what God's been saying to us this morning, in pictures, in from the Bible, from our thoughts. Let's just use this time to respond.